Hey, come here. You made me cry twice today. God bless you. Boy, that's good, wasn't it? How many of you have ever had that special grace? Boy, if you just listen to the words of that song, my sins demanded more than I could pay. But Jesus paid it all, didn't he? He paid it all. Thank you, Ruth. You blessed my heart today twice. All right. If you have your Bible this morning, let me read a story here. Let me read. My joke writer sent me this one. I don't know if you appreciate this a lot, but Fox thought it was kind of, he liked it. I mean, I don't know what this says about his humor, but you listen, see what you think. When a man attempted to siphon gasoline from a motorhome, any of y'all ever tried to siphon gasoline? How many of you did that? Some of you, I know some of you. I know Richard's up there. Hal, Eddie, I know some of that crowd. When a man attempted to siphon gasoline from a motorhome parked on a Seattle street by sucking on a hose, he got much more than he bargained for. Police arrived at the scene to find a basic man curled up next to the motorhome near spilled sewage. A police spokesman said that the man admitted to trying to steal gasoline, but he plugged his siphon hose into the motorhome's sewage tank by mistake. The owner of the vehicle declined to press charges, saying that it was the best laugh he'd ever had. So I don't know. That's good. If you can find me a better joke next week, find it, will you? This morning from Matthew chapter 27, we're going to read Matthew chapter 27, just about 12 or 14 verses. Matthew 27. The Bible says, meanwhile, Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, are you the king of the Jews? Yes, it is as you say, Jesus replied. And when he was accused by the chief priests and the elders, he gave no answer. Then Pilate asked him, don't you hear the testimony they're bringing against you? But Jesus made no reply, not even to a single charge, to the greatest amazement of the governor. Now it was the governor's custom at the feast to release a prisoner chosen by the crowd. At that time, they had a notorious prisoner called Barabbas. So when the crowd had gathered, Pilate asked them, which one do you want me to release to you, Barabbas or Jesus, who is called Christ? For he knew it was out of envy that they had handed Jesus over to him. And while Pilate was sitting on the judge's seat, his wife sent him this message, don't have anything to do with that innocent man, for I have suffered a great deal today in a dream because of him. But the chief priests and the elders persuaded the crowd to ask for Barabbas and to have Jesus executed. Which of the two do you want me to release to you? Asked the governor. Barabbas, they answered. And then verse 22, and this is the key verse, he said, what shall I do then with Jesus who is called Christ? Pilate asked. And they all answered, crucify him. Why? What crime has he committed? Asked Pilate. But they shouted all the louder, crucify him. And when Pilate saw that he was getting nowhere, but instead an uproar was starting, he took water and washed his hands in front of the crowd. I am innocent of this man's blood, he said. It is your responsibility. All the people answered, let his blood be on us and on our children. Then he released Barabbas to them. But he had Jesus flogged and handed him over to be crucified. The year was 1990. It was springtime, and I was a chaplain at Demetrius at 101st Airborne Division. My mother called me, and she said, son, can you come home? We had a terrible tragedy in our family, and your uncle Esther wants you to come home and do the funeral service of your first cousin, of Bubba and his wife and his two children. And they had been murdered. They shot my cousin. They raped his wife. They killed the two children and burned the house down on all of them. I went home and I buried all four of them. I had four caskets laid out, and I led that funeral procession to the cemetery where most of my ancestors are. One day, if Jesus don't come back before that time, one day see you carry me back to Mississippi, and I'll be buried there with my daddy, with many of my loved ones. I'll be buried with my cousin and those four that I buried that day. It was a hard time, a sad time in my life. It was a hard time that summer. Later on, Tommy, I went to the trial. Just happened to be on leave that summer, and I attended the trial to one of those men who had murdered my two men. One of them stayed on death row for 20 years. I think they executed him last summer. But anyway, it was a hard time to sit through that murder trial. The only murder trial that I hope it's the only one I ever sit through. But we have here in Matthew chapter 27 another serious murder trial. It was probably the most serious, and I could have entitled Brother Henry a strange murder trial, maybe. But I said it is life's greatest question, and you find that in Matthew 27 and verse 22, where it says, where Pilate asked the question, "What shall I do with Jesus, who is called the Christ?" That is life's greatest question. That trumps anything else. That trumps, and even this murder trial. It was a murder trial. Because see, in a real sense, it wasn't just Jesus on trial that day. It's really Pilate was the one on trial. The one who tried Jesus. Because see, it works like this, Michael. It all depends. What God does with us one day depends on what we do with His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And whether or not we make Him our Lord. But we have this trial here. He meets Jesus face to face. And I'll make 3 points about it real quick this morning. I want to give you, number one, I want to give the evidence. I can't lay it out like Dale Marsh could probably, but I'm going to lay it out, lawyer. I'm going to lay it out. The evidence, number two, is the errors, and number three, the excuses. Well, what's the evidence that Pilate had that day as Jesus stood before him? God gave him some evidence so he could make the right choice. I believe God gives you some evidence. He's given every one of us this morning. God's given us some evidence. And I want to say, first of all, I believe the first evidence he had was his own conscience. I preached a sermon years ago from Romans chapter 1 about those who have never heard. That is a question, that's a good question, a logical question, a reasonable question. And I have people often ask me, what about the people in deepest, darkest Africa who've never heard the name Jesus? What is God going to do with them? It's a good question, isn't it? Romans 1 answers that. Romans 1 says they are without excuse because every man has a witness of God in his own conscience and in creation. God's autograph is in creation. And Bible says God has put eternity in our hearts. It's just something about I've wanted to know. I've been a spiritual person, Von Seal. I've been a sinful person. I've made as many failures and mistakes. I don't think anybody in this house could trump what I've done. And a lot of it I've done deliberately, knowingly. I knew it where it was going to lead. But I've done it anyway. But I'm grateful that I'm under that grace that Ruth sung about a minute ago. I'm under God's marvelous, matchless, wonderful grace. But I want to say this morning, first evidence I say, counselor, is he had the witness of his own conscience. The Bible says over in Luke 23 and verse 4, he said, after examining him, he said, "I find no fault in this man." He was the only man that ever lived that you could say, "I find no fault in this man." And nobody ever lived like Jesus. Nobody, another life like that. Nobody, you could say, "I find no fault." But you can only say that about one, and that was the sinless, faultless Son of God. And I believe Pilate knew in his own conscience he had the witness. And then I believe another reason, another evidence is the voice of reason. The Bible says in Matthew 27:18, the Bible says Pilate knew for envy. It was for envy that they delivered him. Who delivered him? It was those priests and the Levites and the religious crowd. They delivered Jesus. And the Bible says their hearts burned with envy and jealousy because they were jealous of Jesus. The crowds were following Jesus and they wanted to get rid of him. And the Bible says Pilate knew it was for envy they delivered him. He knew that he was an innocent man. And then I want to say he had the voice of a loved one. His own wife came to him in the scripture we read, Matthew 27, and she said, "Have nothing to do with this innocent man, for I suffered many things in a dream last night because of him." Have nothing to do with him. God sent his wife to him. And I tell you this morning, if you're sitting here and you've never answered life's greatest question, that is, what you'll do with Jesus, I won't tell you. It's not because God didn't send somebody. God sent somebody, everybody, every one of us. And to warn you, every one of us have been warned. God sent somebody. God sent his own dear wife to warn him. He said, "Don't have anything to do with this just man." And I've had some women in my churches through the year. We had my first started preaching, we had a little lady, Miss Thompson. She's a special little lady, and her husband was a bad, mean man. He was a mean guy. I think I told you about him before. He wouldn't give her a quarter to give to the church. And he was against anything religious. And she would pay, Josh, she would pay her tithes to me, in eggs. She'd bring me a dozen eggs, or bring me vegetables for the garden, something she had canned, something she could do herself. And that's how she did it. But he would curse her and forbid her. He would forbid her to talk about anything about the church and about the Lord to her. But God sent somebody. God, I'm telling you something. And I've known other men like that. Women cried and prayed, tried to get their husbands. And maybe God sent somebody to warn you. Gave you a Christian mother like he did me, a godly daddy, and tried to warn you. Nobody could say. And I tell you, if you're here today and you've not answered life's greatest question, you can't go. If you leave this world, you can't say nobody ever told me, because, brother, I'm telling you right now. I'm telling you right now. But I want to say the voice of a loved one. God's given us loved ones to urge us, to warn us. God sent that wife, to warn the soul of this man. But he wouldn't listen to it. Then I want to say the fourth evidence. I said, first of all, he's a person's conscience. And then is the voice of reason. It makes sense to follow Jesus. It just makes sense. If you think about that, we got everything to gain. You got nothing to lose. And certainly, it makes sense to follow Jesus. If you just let your mind go and your brain go to work, it makes sense. Right, Steve? It makes sense to follow Jesus. And then I want to say the third thing was the loved one. He had a loved one. God sent a loved one. That was another evidence that he had. And then I want to say the voice of Jesus himself. In John chapter 18, and by the way, this story is in all four Gospels, but in John chapter 18, he talks to Jesus. Jesus talks to him face to face, and he asks this. He said, Pilate replied, "It was your people and your chief priests who handed you over to me. What have you done?" He said, it's like this, Rick. He said, "I don't understand this Jewish legalism. I don't understand y'all's law. What have you done? Why are you here?" And Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jews. But now my kingdom is from another place." And then Pilate said in verse 37, "Are you a king then?" Pilate said. And Jesus answered, "You are right in saying I am a king. In fact, for this reason I was born, and for this reason I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me." I'm going to tell you, it makes sense. It makes sense just to listen to what he said. And the Bible says here, Jimmy, everybody who wants to know the truth can know the truth. That's what Jesus was saying to him. He said, "Yes, I am a king. That's who I am. I came for this purpose in the world." But the Bible says here that Pilate made all these different, he had all these evidence, he had made some errors. I'm going to say this. What was errors? Second point, errors. What were some of the distractions, some of the pressures in Pilate's life? Maybe somebody here today, you feel the same pressure. Here's number one. Number one was his popularity. Bible says in Mark 15:15 that Pilate was willing to content the people. He was a crowd pleaser. My son, I have one son in Texas. He's a good high school basketball player. And I used to tell him this. I say, "Son, when you play ball, don't look at the crowd. Don't be up looking at the crowd." Tim tried to play to the crowd too much. I know a lot of people go through life like that. And Pilate wanted to play to the crowd. The Bible said he wanted to please the people. He said, popularity. I'm going to ask you young people that. Have y'all ever faced a problem like that? Sure you have. How about business people? Is there a soldier like that? I guarantee you. You know, it's just easy to go along with the crowd. And the Bible said he wanted, it was the Bible said in Mark 15:15, Pilate willing to please the people. And we live in a day when it's an age of conformity. It's easy just to conform and go with the crowd. It's hard to take a stand. It's never been easy to be a Christian. I guarantee you, it's hard for you to make a stand a few weeks ago, wasn't it, Steve, to say yes to Christ. I guarantee it's never been easy. But that's what Pilate was faced with. He had to make life, he had to answer life's greatest question. There's some great questions that face us as a nation and as individuals, but no question like this question. This is the ultimate question. Maybe I could use that for a title. The ultimate question. Matthew 27:22. What will you do with Jesus, who's called Christ? But one thing, he was popularity. And I want to say this. It's easy to just turn, go downstream, isn't it? Like any old dead fish can swim downstream. But I tell you, it takes some courage and it takes some character and it takes some steel to stand up and say, here's where I stand. Stand for Christ. It takes that in school. You young people, college students, it takes that. Then I want to say another error he made, not only popularity, that's one pressure, but another one was position. John 19:12 says, from then on, Pilate sought to release him. Because they told him, he said, if you turn Jesus loose, you're not Caesar's friend. Who was Caesar? He was the Roman emperor. He was another king. He was the king. And they said, if you turn Jesus loose, that means you're taking the side of another king. And you're against Caesar. See, Christians in that day said, they said, Jesus is Lord. But there was a law in that day, Bunsell, that the people must say, Caesar is Lord. And Christians wouldn't say, Caesar is Lord. They said, if you do that, you're taking the side of another king. And so, it was his position that was important. I said, the first thing, one of his ears was popularity. Another thing was position. And I tell you why that position was important to him. You know why it was important to him? Tied to his paycheck. Tied to his paycheck. And he might lose his job if he let Jesus go. He might lose his job if he released Jesus. It's tied to his paycheck. Pilate was a materialist. His position and things were important to him. His position and things. We live in a very materialistic world. And that's the reason some people, that's the reason they won't say yes to Christ. I've even had people tell me, Harry, say, I'm not coming to that church down there. All they talk about is money. How many of y'all ever heard somebody say that? Be honest about it. Sure you have. Guarantee you, Jamie. Anybody in Louisiana ever seen anything like that? Guarantee you have. All they ever talk about, money. Well, I'm going to tell you this. That's not true. Y'all know it's not true. I've been the pastor here. I will assume be, I'm moving up, Chip, on 2.5 years. And I'm going into my third year. And I tell you, Brother Henry, I have preached on money twice. And the first time I preached on it, I called it my secret sermon. It's good, wasn't it? Didn't tell you where, you know. But I tell you, Jesus said more about material things than he did about heaven and hell put together. Because Jesus knew that we are material people. But I want to just tell you, and I think that was it with Pilate. And I'll tell you another thing about this. We criticize people over in Africa and say they worship idols. Well, I tell you, we worship idols too, don't we? Some of them made out of fiberglass, chrome, stainless steel. Am I right? Guarantee you, we worship idols too. And Jesus said, you cannot serve God and mammon. You can't serve God and money. But one reason I believe, Mike, that Pilate had such a hard time, he wanted to be popular, he wanted to please the crowd, the pressure of the crowd, and then number two, his position. He had a soft job. He was a crooked politician, that's what he was. And he had a soft job, and he wanted to keep that job. Number three was, here's the third era, and that was pride. When Jesus came to him in John 19:8, whence art thou, he said. And Jesus, it came to a time though, Jesus wouldn't speak to him anymore. And the time for Jesus to speak, he spoke to him for a while, and then he would answer. And you know, in John, I believe it's 19:10, he said, "What? You don't speak to me?" He said, "Do you know who I am? I have power to crucify you or power to release you." But there came a time Jesus wouldn't speak to him. And he was full of pride and ego. He was an egotist. And that's another reason some people don't come to Christ, I believe. They just have too much ego, just too much pride. They say, Ryan, I'm not going to walk that out. We had a young lady come last Sunday, and she bowed here to pray for somebody, and I was so proud of her. Well, I tell you, you know, that'd be a wonderful thing. It's one thing I like about a little country church. Most of them not so dignified. I'm so full of pride that people are ashamed or embarrassed to humble themselves at the altar. Isn't that right? Say amen. Amen. It's what I like about these little country churches. They don't mind. They'll let the hair down, and they'll just get humble before the Lord. But one thing keeps a lot of people from Christ, I believe, is their pride. They say, "I'm not going to walk that out. I'm not going to go down there and kneel and pray. I'm not going to let somebody see me, somebody I go to school with, or somebody I work with. They might see me and think I'm some kind of religious fanatic or something. I'm not going to humble myself and do that." And I tell you, humility, pride, I think, is a doorway to hell for some people. They just will not humble themselves. You've got to humble yourself. And I tell you, the church is the only thing I know of at all, Gary, that you get into when you say, I'm a rotten, low-down, dirty skunk. That's the only way you get in any richer. That's the only way you get in the church, is admit that. Just admit what everybody knows about you anyway. You all know that about me anyway. I'm just laid the cards on the table. I tell you like it is. But that's the only way you can get in the church. It's not to say I've dressed up, look how clean, how good I am. Listen, brother, the Bible says all our righteousness is filthy rags. The Bible says in Romans 3:22, "For there is no difference," in verse 23, "for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Amen?
Amen.
All of us have. But old Pilate, second thing, the third thing was pride. That was his errors. He wanted popularity. He wanted his position. He wanted to keep his pride. Last point I want to make is, first point I made was the evidence. I told you, he has some evidence. He heard the voice of his own conscience, voice of reason, voice of a loved one, and the voice of Jesus himself. And then I said the second thing was his errors. Popularity, position, pride. Here's the last point. The last point is excuses. You know what he wanted to do? First thing in John 18:31 says, "Take him and judge him according to your own law." And the first thing you want to do, Brian, just ignore him. Just ignore Jesus. See, it'll go away. If I just ignore him, let somebody else do it. I got other things to do. I got other business. Let somebody else worry about that. Then the second thing you want to do was shift the decision. Bible says in Luke 23 that Pilate sent him to King Herod. Guess what King Herod did with him, Dale? He sent him back. He thought, "I'll get him off my hands, and I'll send Jesus. I'll let somebody else decide. I'll shift the responsibility." But Herod sent him back. He was like, y'all know what a boomerang is? Have you ever gotten sticky tar or anything like that? Just wouldn't. Man, he got Jesus on his hand. He couldn't get him off. He couldn't ignore him. And he couldn't shift the decision to somebody else. And then the third thing he tried, he said, "I'll just admire Jesus." He said, "I have examined this man. I find no fault in him." He said nice things about him. Just saying nice things about Jesus, that won't get it. That won't get it. Just saying nice things. Because the Bible says, "He that's not with me is against me." You got to take a stand about Jesus. Just saying nice things won't get it. And then the last thing I want to say is, Pilate tried not to decide. He decided, his decision was not to decide. And he told him, said, "Bring me a basin of water." And they brought him a basin of water. And he said, "I wash my hands. I'm clean. I'm innocent of the blood of this just man." Now what does that bring us down to today? You say, by the way, history tells us that within 2 years, somebody else wore his robe. Somebody else sat in the judgment seat. What's that brings down to today? It brings down to this. You say, well, that's a story in the Bible. That happened a long time ago. Some people crucified Jesus. But it wasn't my fault. I didn't have anything. That's where I say, Bill, I didn't have anything to do with that. It wasn't my fault. Well, I just want to tell you this morning that Pilate never laid a hand on Jesus. As far as I know, he never spit in his face. He wasn't the one that drove the nails in his hand. But I tell you, Pilate committed the sin, the worst sin. He made the worst decision of all, and that was to make no decision. Say, do nothing. That's right. Do nothing, Jerry. He made the worst decision of all, and that was to do nothing about Jesus. We sang a song when I was a little boy growing up. You've all heard it, Phyllis. What will you do with Jesus? Go like this. What will you do with Jesus? Neutral you cannot be. That's not 10. What will you do with Jesus? Help me, Craig. Y'all know it? Anybody know it? Who knows that song? I know somebody here knows it. Okay, God's looking at you. I know. It goes like this. What will you do with Jesus? Neutral you cannot be. One day, your heart will be asking, what will he do with me? That's right. I'll close and tell you this. I had some Delta Air Miles. Y'all ever had Delta Air Miles? Oh, yeah. They had a new thing. They had about 5,000 miles. And they said, before you lose these miles, Stan, what you can do is you write and say how many. We have a magazine program. So one of my choices, I get about 6 magazines, Jim. And so one of my magazine choices was Sports Illustrated. Y'all read Sports Illustrated? It's a great article this week. I got it. Caught my attention Friday night. It's a story that kind of applies this. I told Darcy, this fits right in my sermon, son. It's a story of a coach that made one of the worst mistakes that a coach ever made. You won't believe it when I tell you. He was the basketball coach in Carolina. He coached in Laney High School, Rob. And he was the man who, when Michael Jordan was in the 10th grade, left his name off the roster. The greatest basketball player, arguably. I don't think it's arguable. Do you? Think so? Think so, Rick? I think he's the man. Air Jordan. The man who 33 years ago made the wrong choice. It's kind of a sad story. And I said to Cillian Dawson, I wonder if Michael knows that he's living in the shack of a house. I wonder if he knows that his old coach. Well, it's kind of a sad story. The man who failed to choose, make the right choice. But I tell you, there's a greater thing, far more greater than that. The stakes are a lot higher than that. It ain't talking about choosing a ball player. It's talking about who you'll choose for eternity. And I believe it's that important that you make the right choice. Let's bow and pray. Father, this morning we thank you for your word. It is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. God, this is such an important passage. It is the last days of Jesus on this earth, at least in his earthly walk and earthly ministry. Lord, I guess it's all in your plan that it happened as it did. But there's certainly a message for us, and that is, Pilate could have made a different choice that day. He could have said yes to Christ, but he didn't do it. Lord, I pray that if there's one here this morning that's never said yes, a man, a woman, boy, girl, I pray that they'll say yes to life's greatest question. That is to crown Jesus. I know everybody has to crown you or crucify you. They have to accept you or reject you. And Lord, I pray that there's one here, a young one, a little one, an older one. I pray that this morning they'll lay aside their pride, lay aside everything, and say, I want to follow Jesus. I do believe the gospel story. I do believe the message of the Bible, and that is that God loved me and Jesus came to save me, died in my place. And if I will repent of my sins and trust Him, I can go to heaven forever. Father, I pray that if there's one who will believe that and receive that today, I pray that even in this moment, You'll do a work of grace in their heart, and they'll come to this altar, Lord, and follow You in believer's baptism. I pray for others. Thank You for those five that came last Sunday to become a part of this church family. I pray for others right now. God, You just work and move. If people need to come, I pray, God, they'll hear Your voice and obey You. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together and sing. Come on, right now. Come on.